Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara,
and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Joining me right now, 6 minutes after 9 o'clock on a Monday, is a guy who's known all over the country as the Gunner. He's one of the smartest guys I know. He's got a great personality, and he's just a wonderful human being. So joining me is...
What's going on? You want something.
Joining me is Michael Musselman, the Gunner. What's up, Tex?
I feel like I've just been teed up like a golf ball. What's going on?
Nothing. Happy Father's Day.
Oh, thanks. You know, they always say, you know, if it feels like bullshit, it is bullshit.
No, that's not true.
There's something going on, because that's not normal you. You're like, you know, here's Mr. Gunner with things. You know, some kind of backhanded comment. Always a comment. You know,
it hurts me. It hurts me. It hurts me that you would say that.
Yeah, it cuts you deep. I know.
I know. I don't know how. I don't know if you understand how deeply that bothers me and how much it hurts me. But
first of all, you have to have feelings
there,
for it to hurt you. And I know.
Wow.
And I know that didn't hurt you.
Wow. We're gonna go there. Let's talk about the World Cup. Are you a soccer fan?
Football.
Are you a football fan?
Yeah, I am. I just like the hype of it. You know, it's the one thing that brings the world together. You know?
It is true.
So, Max, you know, you spend time in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah.
Man, everybody knows what a soccer ball looks like, or a football, you know, in that case. You throw them kids a football out in the field, man, it's an amazing transformation.
Now, if you ever...
Everybody knows.
Right. If you ever saw Marines playing soccer, the two things that were pretty cool, if you've ever seen them, throw a soccer ball out there. And, you know, all the differences go away as you play this thing that you have in common. And then the other thing that was pretty crazy was when Marines would put on rap music, and you'd have these kids and young people standing around, because they've seen it on TV, and they see these Americans, like, doing this crazy stuff. And just the joy that music brings, you know?
Right.
And it's pretty crazy. Watching stuff like that. And again, all of a sudden these things that divide us don't divide us so much. But those are two things like magic. Football/soccer and music. And how kind of inquisitive young people were to see Marines. And most Marines suck at trying to do their rap stuff. But it doesn't slow them down from doing it one bit. Especially when they have an audience. So it's very, very interesting to watch.
Hey, you know where the next World Cup's going to be, right?
Yeah, Gunner.
Texas, baby.
No.
They're going to split it.
2020
in Texas, not Qatar.
Yes, it is. It's in 2028 in Texas, in the United States, Canada, Mexico. In the one between them and us and them.
2028.
Yeah, the next one is going to be in Qatar.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, but Texas, they're coming to Texas.
they're coming to the United States. Okay, just so you know,
they're coming to Texas, brother.
No, you know what? The games in Texas will suck, because what'll happen is the Mexicans will take over the stadium like they did in Southern California. And you'll get the national anthem booed in Texas. Yeah.
Are you smoking crack?
No, I'm not. You know where they play the men's national team plays all its home games now? Or at least every one with the Mexicans? In Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, because we have a home field advantage there. Everybody that goes to the games there roots for the American team.
You're smoking crack.
No. Did you not remember the national anthem being booed in
California?
In the Rose Bowl? Do you remember that?
In California.
Right. Right.
It's booed by Californians. They're not even Mexican. White people from freaking L.A. burned American flags. So don't blame this on the Mexicans.
Right.
They're Californians.
Wait. Well done. Well played, Maurer. Well played.
Come down here, and I dare you. I double dog dare you. And not you, because I don't want anything bad to happen to you. But if you could get some sucker to come down here to pick something, a rodeo grounds down here at Fort Worth, and boo the national anthem.
No, I'm not talking
and see
about
if
that.
He can
I'm
make
talking
it out
about
there with his eyes.
If the Mexican national team if plays the American team down in Texas, and you know, this is like a great tribute.
They won't get booed, dude.
To American,
no way they'll get booed.
They will. Okay. Well, you know what? It'd be interesting to see what would happen. But we couldn't qualify for it this time, so we just bought it. We bought it. We'll get in that tournament. Nobody keeps us out of these tournaments. We're buying our way in, son. That's right. So I think 60.
Well, we got to qualify for it. Yeah.
Next time. Next time. When you host it, you don't. You're in.
No.
Do you have a team that you're rooting for?
I was rooting for Germany.
Oh, so you're off the bandwagon now?
No, I was pulling for Germany. So I was like, you know, because we were at the World Cup in Berlin when they won.
Oh, no shit.
We took me and Tina and Megan. We were in Berlin when they won.
Oh my God. What was that?
Oh my God. It was off the hook. That was what? 2014?
I can't remember. Was that the last
2014.
One? Oh shit, that's right.
Yeah, when they won, it was what, South Africa or something? The games were played in South Africa.
Wow.
So
the Germans are good. The Germans are good. And Mexico winning, that was a freak.
That was like the silence. Literally you could hear a fart in Brandenburg Gate that day. People would be like,
yeah, the Germans, that's a pretty big deal. No joke.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big deal.
They weren't beat that bad. The last time they were actually, like I said, lost that bad and that discouraged was when the Russians pulled into East Berlin.
Yeah, but you know what?
1945.
I said that, look, the whole game got played in the Mexican end, except for the early part of the game when Mexico scored. And, I mean, I told Mike and our soccer coach this morning, the last time the Germans took that many shots, they were invading Poland, okay? The Mexicans were absolutely lucky to survive it. The Germans hit a crossbar and two posts. In hockey, we'd say that's no puck luck. Whatever. I like the Germans.
No.
I normally root for the Italians, though. I like the Italians.
Really?
Yeah.
Right now, I'm rooting for England.
Can you imagine the catastrophe in Italy when the Italian national team doesn't qualify for the World Cup?
Well, it's not as bad as, like, Argentina. Those guys died.
No, the Italians died.
They
don't have another sport.
No. But remember, it was the goalkeeper that actually kicked in his own goal. It was like Brazil or something.
They lost.
They killed him.
I thought that was Colombia.
Yeah, it was one of those.
Yeah,
Colombia, Brazil, Argentina.
He was the
South Americans and Central American. Dude, you screw that up, you better go in the witness.
But again, they were at least in the tournament. The Italians aren't even in the tournament. I mean, that's a national catastrophe. I can't, like, we're not in the tournament, and Americans go, oh, we're not? Oh, well, whatever.
Maybe next time.
The Italians not in the World Cup? Like, the all right. So did you jump off the German bandwagon?
No, I was pulling for. I wasn't like picked the Germany. They were the first team that I watched play, and so I was like, oh man, you know, I remember watching Germany. We got me and Megan. She's got the banner. You know, she really got into World Cup when we were in Germany. She really got hooked on it. So she's always behind the German team. So we were kind of sitting there going for the German team, and then it was like, oh. It was funny. My daughter, she's like, oh, I can't watch this anymore. I can't. I don't know what to say. And it was like, you know, oh man, it was a shocker, man. I was really kind of.
Okay. So who are you rooting for? Who's your team in the World Cup?
Let me see. I'll tell you who's in, you know, so let's go through who's in it, because I got the World Cup app. I've been following it.
You've got the app? Oh, my God. This is awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So, teams. See, this is what I don't like about this. I don't want all teams. I just want the World Cup teams. Portland Timbers.
I think that's the wrong app, bro.
No, this is like all soccer all over the world now.
Okay, we don't want that. We want World Cup. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Can't believe we're screwing this up.
Here we go. So right now, first stage, let's start with Saturday, recap.
Okay.
France beat Australia. Argentina tied Iceland.
France, one of the
favorites. Peru lost to Denmark.
Okay.
France is a pretty good team, man. They're going to be the team to beat this year. Okay. Peru fell to Denmark, and Croatia beat Nigeria, which that was kind of writing on the wall.
Okay, was it?
Then on Sunday, Costa Rica fell to Serbia, Germany fell to Mexico,
crazy.
And Brazil tied Switzerland, which Switzerland, that's a win.
Yep.
You know?
No doubt.
Because Brazil's a very strong team.
Right.
No doubt.
Right. Although Neymar, he's only 90%. So he's not at his best.
Yeah, he didn't play very good. He didn't play.
He's hurt.
Maybe end up dead when he gets home.
He
better hide his face a lot. So Sweden beat Korea, South Korea. Belgium is currently winning right now at 60 minutes in. And then we have Tunisia against England. And this is still round one. And then Colombia versus Japan, which I think is going to be a very interesting game tomorrow. Because Japan, they're kind of like that. They can go either way. I mean, they could show up and play the best game of their lives, but they've really become a really good team. Poland against Senegal, Russia versus Egypt. Now that's going to be the game to watch. Why? Do you know why?
Russia versus Egypt. Why would that be a game to watch?
Because.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know. Why would it be a game to watch? The Russians won their first game, right? They beat Saudi Arabia 5-0, as they say. So
what's his name? The big favorite, I can't think of his name. He plays for Manchester United during the offseason. Huge following. Soccer player that plays for Egypt right now. I can't think of his name, but he's being lofted as like, you know, a Maradona, a Pele. I mean, he's just like that kind of
guy.
He's got a lot of talent.
Why don't I know about the guy? Because I don't follow soccer. Is that why you don't know about the guy? That's awesome. He just hung up on himself. Oh my God, no. Or he put it on mute and he doesn't know. Wait a minute. What happened?
I don't know. What happened? What did you hit?
I don't know. I thought you hung up on yourself. But it turns out you didn't. Okay. And then I was making fun of you. I want to apologize for making fun of you.
Mohamed Salah, right? Mohamed Salah? Is that his name?
Mohamed Salah? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know this guy. Is David Beck?
I can't think of his name off the top of it, but he plays for Manchester United. He's got a huge following. He's been getting a lot of news lately because, you know, for England is very kind of, you know, they have protests against Muslims and stuff, but yet in the town that he's from, or town that he lives in, they're really pro. I mean, people are talking all these Muslims saying, oh, you know, because of him, we can walk around the streets and, you know, we can actually go to these pubs and bars and, yeah, people really like them.
And hold our heads high? I like that. All right. Well, that's good. So he's playing for Egypt. Is anybody who's going to win that game? The Russians? I hate when the Russians win anything.
Especially at home.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because then it's going to be rigged.
Yeah, because you...
But if they don't and then
Putin's going to take his shirt off. It's going to be horrible. Yeah, if they don't win...
Well, you know Putin will be there.
Oh, he was there when they played Saudi Arabia. Looking smug, like the punk that he is. The,
Not a punk.
Oh, I forgot. Don't break out your Vladimir Putin suit and put it on and start running around the house. Remember, you are in Texas. You are in Texas. They don't like that shit. But George Bush likes him. He actually looked into his soul and found a man he could trust. Okay, so give us, you have yet to come clean on, I think you gotta still root for Germany. You're emotionally attached to them. I don't understand.
No, I'm not. I'm actually.
You're at the Brandenburg Gate when right they now, won. No, come on. Listen,
I know, yeah, but I'm not emotionally attached. I'm judging based on the hotness factor of their female fans.
You know what? When you think that a show can't get more shallow than it already is, right? It goes.
Oh no, we can get shallower.
It breaks out the very, very low draft skiff. Okay.
I can get as low. I can get as shallow as water on a sidewalk, boys and girls.
Okay, so back to the original question. Who are you rooting for? Why is it so hard? I don't understand.
I think I'll root. I'll go on and say I'm rooting for England.
Why?
I really want them to. Well, because, I mean.
Meghan Markle.
They haven't done great. And, you know, they've had our back. They're an ally, the longest ally of us. You know,
this doesn't sound like
it. I can't get behind the French. I don't like the frogs, really.
They're not going to have very hot-looking chicks like the pictures you sent us this morning. The Brits don't have girls like that. The Brits do not have girls like that.
No, you know who has girls like that? Colombia.
Colombia. Yeah, we know about Colombia.
Yeah. Who's the Colombian actress? Have you seen the commercial with the Colombian actress? What's her name? Really beautiful looking chick.
No.
And she's like,
no.
I'm sorry, America. You're not in the World Cup. But you can follow Brazil. We have 8 trophies. And she's closing in the back and it's like a car commercial. Oh man, it's hilarious. Sorry, America, you're not in the World Cup. But you can root for Brazil. You know, and she's like closing the trunk. She's got, we have 8 trophies.
That is funny. Hold on. I had something I was going to tell you, but you're not going to see any of that with England. They have like chubby girls with tattoos and piercings, right? That's what you're going to see. You don't want to see that.
Yeah. I'm torn, man. There's some of the, the Swedish team.
The Swedish bikini team. That's a team. I do know how. In November of 2010, there was a Senate election in Florida. Marco Rubio got elected to the Senate. There was a picture of his wife, who's Colombian, on election night, clapping and looking at him. And she has the look in her eye that you would hope a woman would look at you. And she's this beautiful Colombian, former cheerleader of, I think, the Miami Dolphins. So I saw it, and I saved it, and I put it in this kind of PowerPoint thing that I had that I would have polls at times. And, Mike, And Mike would always be asked to vote in my polls. And it was under the heading of Why We Fight, okay? So Senator Rubio comes to Afghanistan. So I stop our regimental commander, David Ferdes, and I said, hey, can I share you something? He says, yeah. Because I don't know if he voted in the poll or not. He may or may not have voted in the poll. And I said, we really like Senator Rubio's wife. She's Colombian. And we had a guy who was who was did kind of air traffic control for the regiment. His name was Jose. He was a prior enlisted, awesome lieutenant. He was great. And he was with our what's called the ASLAT. And they do coordination with the air wing and blah, 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 blah. He did a great job the whole time they were there. And he would say, he's from the Dominican Republic, Colombian. So we asked Colonel Furness, or I did, do you think you could tell Senator Rubio that we think his wife's really hot and see what he has to say about it? He said, no. I said, why not? He's a guy. We're guys. We're in combat. He's like, I'm not going to ask him about his wife. Okay, don't ask him any questions. Will you make the statement that my Marines think your wife's smoking ass hot? He said, I won't say that. What happened?
Belgium just scored again. 2-0.
It's
68 minutes into the game.
It's over. No. It's over.
Yeah, that's 30.
That's over. Forget about it. That game's over. Let's talk about the Red Sox. Mookie's back playing. Are you happy about that?
Yes.
Life's better when Mookie plays?
Life is better when Mookie's in the game.
Okay. All right. What'd you do over the weekend?
We went to...
Oh.
Seems like we did a lot of stuff.
Wait a minute. Movie review. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Oh, we didn't go see the movie.
Again?
We went to some other place. Yeah.
Man.
Where'd we go? We went somewhere. I forgot where we were.
I did all that.
But then we went to dinner, and then we went to a show. Max Stalling was in town.
Who's Max?
Country Western singer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's got a song that I've loved forever, and it's called I-35, you know, so 35W.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever driven on 35W?
Of course I have. And you, being a native, a native of Minnesota.
35 goes from Duluth all the way down through Texas, down past Texas into
Brazil.
Down by it. It just goes forever.
Shackelford got on the 35W.
Yeah, Ernest Shackelford, yeah. And when he was rescued, he drove on Earth to 35W. I cannot believe you didn't put that in there. What is wrong with you, man? Don't bring Ernest Shackleton into that kind of stuff. Okay?
Yeah. Shackleton he got on the 35 trying to get to Antarctica and when he was lost. Holy shit, who knew the 35 came this far south? How do you like that? I just saw that in my Google Earth stuff last week. I still have
your meds correct?
Yeah, they are. I was bombing around Google Earth and I see all these red dots. And I look, and it's the Shackleton expedition that Mike gave us a class about one day. And this is a guy whose ship gets frozen in the Antarctic. Is that the
Endurance?
The Endurance gets frozen, and I look, I've got all these push pins in my Google Earth thing, and I'm like, oh man, that's when he gave us that class, and so. Let me just paraphrase. If you want to know what true leadership is, you have to read about this expedition. And what's the name of the book?
The book is called South. South. There's many books, but the one you want to read is called South.
And I'm looking at it right now. And when you look at this, holy shit. Okay? They do some of it by ship, right? And then... the whole expedition takes a very, very wrong turn when they don't get out in time and they get frozen, the ship gets crushed, and then they gotta do other things to survive. So, that's the story. So the book is called South. Mike says it's one of the best books he's ever read. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's of human endurance and the human spirit. And like you said, you want to read about true leadership, you know, being lost in the Antarctic in 1914, 15 time frame, you know, before Gore-Tex and the fleets and shit like that. You're wearing, oh, let's go kill that seal, and then we need its, you know, fat for oil for burning at night, and we need this fur for boots, because I don't have any more boots, and I'm on the ice. I mean, that's the kind of lifestyle. You know, and not one person complained. Because the book is written by Shackleton himself and members of his crew, like diaries. Oh. And they were all like, referred to him as the boss. You know, don't let the boss, they were always kind of, never let the boss, they were concerned about letting the boss see him with a, you know, a frown or kind of any kind of dislike, you know, any kind of thing that was like, no, we can't do this. And even the day when they were found by, when Shackleton finally came, rescued him, and came back to the crew they had left behind the island, and walks out the boss, they were all, make sure we stand straight, and we don't want to disappoint the boss now. He's like, what? You know, most people today be like, disappoint? Shit.
I'm going to beat his ass. I'm going to bust the captain's ass for keeping me out here for this long. But no, can you imagine, Mike, how elated, I mean, all of a sudden on the horizon? Is that something, or is that, I mean, how many times they thought they saw something? Could that be? No. Could that be?
But they,
no.
They would pack their kit every single morning they woke up. They would break camp and get ready to go. Why? Multiple things. One, it gave them something to do. It gave them something to look forward to. And it kept their mind busy. It kept them engaged, you know, and it didn't show a defeatist attitude. They never gave up, you know. And people always say, well, you know, there's a time. No, not until you take your last breath. Never give up.
Wow, that's pretty. And again, when you see that, so what I did was I went on the internet and I looked for a Google Earth overlay that had this expedition.
Yeah.
It's absolutely positively amazing. Honestly, I mean, you look at it.
Oh, dude, it's over with. It's over with. They're gonna score again. They just scored again. Jeez.
What do we call the Belgians? What is their nickname? The Dutch? Are they the Dutch?
No, that's Netherlands.
Netherlands is really good. They wear orange, man. They got did they get to the semifinals in the last World Cup?
I think Belgians are referred to as Northern Germans.
What is the nickname for the Belgians, the Bells, the Jins, the Belgians?
Yeah, what is the nickname? It's going to be one of those things like, oh, no shit, we knew that. Hey, Siri.
Hey, Siri.
Hey, Siri. How come she's not talking to me?
The Dutch.
Oh, because in my real song. What are they called?
They're called the Dutch?
No.
What do you call a person from Belgium? Belgians are made up of two linguistics and ethnic groups, the Dutch speakers called Flemish and the French speakers mostly called Walloons, as well as a third tiny but constitutionally recognized group of two small German-speaking areas. What is the nickname of the Belgian national soccer team? Les Rouges.
Oh, the Red Devils.
The Red Devils. But that's not, yeah, that's not what we call people from, don't we call them Dutch?
No? Yeah, well, in their language, I think it's like, they roll the bells or two bells, les diables rogues, or the rotten, or
stop
the
it.
Devils, the two full handeds, the rotten two full handeds.
That's their mythology? Now, you know, let me ask you this. Don't you like the way that I remember the things that you bring to the program? We haven't talked about Shackleton in a long time, and you got to talk about him today, and what an awesome book it is. See?
So if you're from Belgium, you're called a phlegm? Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I'm a phlegm.
Yeah, let me get this phlegm out of my mouth.
Yeah.
What's that on your tongue? I think it's phlegm.
However, I'm looking at the FIFA girls from Belgium. I might be for Belgium.
Really?
There's
FIFA girls?
Oh, yeah. There's FIFA girls. There's a website.
My God. How did you find FIFA girls?
because you just Holy go smoke. Girls from FIFA, from Belgium.
Is that part of this thing? So did you go to any, did you actually go to any games in 2014?
Hang on a second. I'm speechless for a second. What?
Did you go to any games?
Okay.
Did you go to any games in 2014?
No, because we were touring. They were in South Africa. The games were in South Africa.
Oh, I thought, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I thought they were in Germany. And you were there, so
no,
you were in Germany.
The Germans were playing. We were in Germany while they were playing in the World Cup.
I was going to say, I don't remember it being in Germany, but if you were there, I remember seeing pictures that you posted. So that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. So you haven't – when you say you're going to go see a movie, why do your plans keep changing? That's 2 weeks in a row. I don't really like that.
Yeah, you know – I said, well, this is the wife. She changed plans.
Oh, so you just...
I really didn't want to go see the movie, to tell you the truth, but she wanted to, so I was going to go with her.
Do you fall asleep in most movies? Because I tend to do that.
I do too, man. If I'm not really interested into it, yeah. I'm like out. Dude, I'm out. This is a good place to take a nap.
You,
nice,
you know
cool,
what?
It's dark, it's quiet.
And I'll tell you what, theaters now, they have some serious good seats, man. The revolution in theaters across the country is awesome. You used to sit in these bullshit
seats. Oh, recliners.
Oh, my God, it's awesome. I went to one in West L.A. that we had a couch. Colleen and I had a couch. I'm like, this is awesome. Threw my leg over the side, slouching. I'm like, I might just lay down and go to sleep. She's like, all right, I'll watch a movie. I'm like, no problem, Colleen. We'll come to the movie more often. But it's, honestly, man, it's awesome. If you haven't been in a while, go check out a theater with either couch seating or, because most of them now have this incredible seating. Pretty cool.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing, man.
Yeah. No, they've had to change with the times to be more competitive. Here's an email.
Food service.
Yeah. Miss, could I have a popcorn with double butter? Do you serve Heineken? No, sir, we don't. Do you think you could? Do you have any in your car or truck? Could you go get me one?
Check your text message real quick.
Before we get to that, here's a text message. Okay. Hey, boys, I heard that you guys are going to do gun talk this week, and you're going to talk about the 45.
Tomorrow.
What day?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Tomorrow, gun talk. Mike sent me a
tomorrow.
Picture. Who's 45? Who's tricked out 45? Is that yours?
No, maybe. I don't advertise my gun.
Oh, really? You don't advertise your guns?
No.
All right. So
I don't want you to see. I don't want you to know what I got.
That's a That's German. Yes. Wait.
That's an F-10.
That's
no, Fabric National USA.
No, the picture you sent, you dope.
Oh, no. No, that's Belgian.
Belgian colors are red, black, and yellow?
But the opposite of Germany.
Are you kidding me?
Opposite of Germany. So, if you look at the Belgian flag, right?
Good God, man. I didn't know that. Because you see that flag and you're like, well, Germany's got the whole lion thing, right?
Yeah, so the Belgian flag is the black, kind of yellowish and
bad.
Red from left to right.
My bad. Why would they choose the same colors as Germany?
Well, no, they're just... So the Belgian flag is vertical, and the German flag is horizontal.
Well,
but they're black, red, and gold, and yellow. Or
yeah,
gold.
But Germany adopted their flag in 1949. Belgium adopted theirs in 1831. But they're essentially the same colors, but as Belgium is running vertically and Germany's horizontal with that crazy-looking eagle.
And they flipped the yellow and the red.
Yeah, that crazy-looking eagle in the middle of it. Germany.
Yeah, so if you look at that girl's, the girl's hat, her horns, everything's vertical. So she's Belgian. If they were horizontal, then she'd be German.
Red, okay, black, yellow, red,
and
then the German flag is
it's Belgian.
Black,
it's
red,
black,
yellow,
red, yellow.
Got it. Whoa.
Yeah,
you got to be paying attention. Hey,
well,
Fraulein,
no,
sprechen Sie Deutsch? No, dumbass.
Yellow on black is Belgian. Red on black is German.
Well, see, yeah, you can't be drinking and be around both those countries. Somebody's gonna get.
But, you know what? When I was stationed in England, we go down there. It didn't matter, man. Who cared? Belgian girls, German girls. Who cared?
So you obviously enjoy Europe, yeah?
Yeah, when I took the family there, yeah, I had a great time.
No, how about when you were stationed?
I love.
How about when you were stationed there?
Yeah, it's like crazy.
Wow. And you had your did you ever drive your, would you have a Camaro? What was you?
I had a dark, they called it Filipino blue. It was really dark blue. T-tops, 5.7 IROC Camaro.
And they shipped it? Was it part of,
They shipped it? Yeah, because I was got stationed in Germany, or in England.
So did you?
Dude, and I used to get stopped by police all over England because they love muscle cars in England, dude. They love American muscle cars. You know, a Ferrari 308 GTSI could drive down the street, and they wouldn't even bat an eye. But a Maserati or a Lamborghini. But man, an American muscle car drives down, they just lose their shit.
That is funny. That is funny.
It was funny because, like you said, you know, we'd pull up and, you know, you'd pull up on the side or something, the side of the street, and girls would just get in the car. They're like, who are you? I'm whatever. Let's go for a ride. You're like, this
you
is
what
it must be like when you have, like, a Lamborghini, like some exotic supercar. And women flock to that.
Right.
Because they do.
I was going to ask you, I mean, did you, like, drive to Paris or anything like that?
No, I never took it to mainland Europe.
But it was before they had the channel, so you would have to have gone on a ferry, right?
Taking the air, they had landing craft, like the LCAC back then when I was there.
Yeah.
They had the big fan, you know, the hover crafts.
Right. Was that expensive?
Huge.
Was that expensive to do? Do you know? Do you remember?
I don't know. I never took the car. I always flew. I didn't want to take a boat across the damn English Channel. Just flying was cheap, man.
Well, now you can.
I mean, it was like a charter flight.
What do you mean a charter flight?
Well, it was just like a little charter plane. I mean, flying to Paris from where I lived was it's very similar from flying from Orange County to San Francisco.
Are you kidding me? I thought. Well, wait a minute. I thought you lived in Scotland. You lived. You were up by.
No, I lived in Cornwall. No.
Cornwall.
I went up there, but I lived in Cornwall. I lived outside of a town called Newquay. Newquay, Cornwall. N-E-W-Q-U-A-Y. Most Americans would say Newquay, but it's called Newquay. I lived in Newquay, Cornwall. In a little itty-bitty town called St. Columb Minor.
I'm trying to find it. Which coast is it on?
Yeah, Newquay. It's on the southwest tip of England. There's a little tail.
And so why were you there? You were guarding, do we have an embassy there?
I can't tell you. Can't tell you. No.
So you weren't doing MSG duty. You were doing security duty?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. All right. I got it. But you had a good time there.
Oh, yeah. It was a blast, dude. One of the best times of my life.
English food sucks. What?
No, not all of it. A lot of it does.
Stop it.
A lot of it does suck.
It's like Irish food, okay? So.
Okay. No, Irish food's good.
Oh, shit. Oh, wow. Cornwall.
Cornwall is a surfer's paradise. It's a little fishing town. St. Ives from the old, you know, what's it called? There's an old story about the man St. Ives, you know, on the road to St. Ives.
Wait a minute. Is it up? It's like Cornwall Truro? T-R-U-R-O?
Truro.
So that's Truro. Where you lived? But it's not even on the coast.
No.
It's inland.
Yeah, Cornwall's, Newquay.
I see Falmouth. I see St. Mawes.
No.
I see Fiac.
St. Mawgan? Did you see St. Mawgan? What did you say, St. Mawes?
I see St. Clement.
Is it Newquay?
Newquay.
Newquay, Cornwall. I'm looking at it right now. Newquay, England.
No, I'm not seeing it. I'm looking on Google
Earth.
N-E-W. I see
Trusty.
N-E-W. Q, came right up.
Q-U-A-Y.
Newquay. Oh, Cornwall. Newquay. Sorry. There must be more than one Cornwall then.
Because, no, Cornwall is the region.
Oh. You know, then why didn't you say that? Is it like the state? Cornwall's the state?
No, it's like a region. Like you have your Lake District, you have Nottingham area, you have,
Robin Hood. Robin Hood used to live in Nottingham. I know that because
Cornwall's a region.
Wow.
Now the Cornish.
That is like on the south. How far are you from London there?
Oh, like a couple hours maybe.
Really? What's the speed limit?
Yeah, I mean you could fit three Englands in Texas, dude. But that's not a big country. I think you can fit three Englands, all of England, into Texas. Three of them.
We're, as Americans, we have this kind of time-space thing in our head. And most of the rest of the world is not like
that. I wouldn't drive across England. It's an hour and a half. What are you talking about? What?
It's 20 minutes in Israel. At one of the wide spots, it's 2 hours north to south to go through the whole.
That's American thing,
Yeah. No, they look at us and they say, do you know how lucky you are with these two big oceans and friendly neighbors to your north and south? Do you realize what a big fat pig you guys are over here with no worries? We're like right on top of each other as Northern Europeans.
I walked from one side to the other in the country of Luxembourg.
How many miles is it? Luxembourg is like 2 miles.
And it's widest, right?
It's widest because you're not walking much further than that without a good reason.
Right.
All right. What's your favorite English food?
It has to be a Cornish pasty.
What is that? Pasty.
It's like a.
Is that like pasta?
Yeah. It's like a calzone, but with beef and potatoes and like it's like a hearty, like a brown stew, like the brown sauce, like a gravy in it.
Yeah.
But it's got beef, like stew beef, potatoes, corn, vegetables.
Okay, where would you rank that? That which is your favorite from England. On your lexicon of food that I like, all right? Qantas Mille Pas at the top, and then other things you like. Where would that rank?
Oh, that would be like
15th,
16th.
27. I told you.
No, because Quantrix Milpas takes 1 through 11. So, I mean.
I still have never been there. I have to go there.
I thought you said you went there.
No, I never said. Somebody wrote in and said they went there.
Oh,
I never went there.
Yeah, someone wrote in.
Somebody listened.
And what did they say? What was their comment?
They said it was unbelievable. They said they wrote in to thank you and say that it was an awesome stop in an old part of San Diego, and they love going to places like that, and the food was off the hook. I have a question for you about brisket. Brisket have a lot of fat content? I mean,
no.
a lot of fat.
No. But, you know, so when you look at the side of the cut, there's really good marbling. I mean, a very thin line, what's the word for it? Like a viscous type fat. It melts. So when it gets hot, it melts. And that's where a lot of flavor, because you have these, like the strands of a muscle, you know, they go one way. If you cross section cut them, you see the pattern. So you're looking at them, in their vertical sense. So the tops of the muscle strands as they go down the brisket. That's why when you cross cut them perpendicular, they're very tender. They just fall apart. But, you know, each muscle fiber is surrounded by a little bit of fat. There's always fat between each muscle fiber.
Right.
And that's brisket, you know, so it's not tough meat. I mean, you could make it tough if you're running.
Right. We can always do that.
And then you normally trim it too. So, I mean, like, it's because it's an exterior muscle, an interior muscle. So it does have a fat layer, a fat cap on one side of the meat, the side that's going to be towards the animals, you know, outside, of course. But you trim that. I mean, I've had brisket with a fat ring on one side.
Yeah, I had some yesterday, and it had a lot of fat.
That's it, man. Belgium, 3-0.
It's over? It's over?
Yep. It's over.
Okay. Email. Mac, I'm curious about what you think and the gunner think about the cessation of these large military exercises in Korea. Do they significantly weaken our defense there? Mike, your thoughts. We talked about this last week, but go ahead, Mike.
Okay, wait. Our exercises weaken our?
Yeah, does the, does us not executing those exercises weaken the defense of South Korea?
No, not at all.
Okay,
why
not?
Well, because one, it's a conventional exercise. So the fight where we would fight it would be the same mistake that we are going to make that we made, fighting Iraq. We went in there as a conventional fight. They stood in the conventional mindset for about a day and then they broke it into, you know, bands of guerrillas and insurgency. So an asymmetrical warfare, which we weren't prepared for. So the problem with Korea is it would be the same way, even though they have a large, substantial force.
Right.
There's no great planes. There's going to be no world-renowned tank battles. It's valleys, very corridor country,
right.
The high mountain peaks. I mean, so you don't have to go to Korea to practice. I mean, you got to keep people with the idea of what. Fighting and surviving and maintaining in a high altitude environment, a vertical environment, which when was the last time we fought in a vertical environment? Korea, 1952.
Yeah. So.
I mean, we did it
okay,
in
so
small
why,
places.
So why doesn't not holding this, why doesn't holding this weaken
the exercises we do? It doesn't weaken. It doesn't strengthen, nor does it weaken. It's not. It doesn't do anything other than it sends a message to Korea that, hey,
North Korea.
We're here.
Right.
or North Korea.
It just so everybody knows.
It puts South Korea kind of at ease. Okay, you guys are still here.
Right. But it doesn't.
Tactical effect.
It doesn't mean a thing. We still are there 365 days a year operating with the South Koreans. So it's not like we left. And we do other exercises where they're integrated in, RIMPAC coming up. And a whole host of other exercises where we exercise with them. So, and then what'll happen is that the planners and the logistician will continue to plan and do everything that it takes to execute the exercise. And then we'll hit the pause button.
Let me explain something.
And the reason that they'll do that is because if the president needs to turn this back on, we don't start planning then. And this is a full-time job for some people in the American military. So they'll continue to plan it. And then he'll say, we're not going to execute it. The reason I said that is if he decides to turn it back on, it doesn't take shit to turn it back on.
Here's putting it into a sense that you can talk to too and explain. This, why do I believe we are not smart? Because of this. Korea is an example of us not learning a lesson. For instance, one of the exercises that we had planned for in the 60s, the 70s, and even up until the 80s was an exercise called the Fold the Gap.
Mm.
Okay? The Fold the Gap exercise was in a division of the United States Army, a mechanized division. Tanks, Bradleys, 113s, artillery. Its sole purpose was to be a speed bump against the Russians when they came through the Fold the Gap into Western Europe. Because that gap, the Fold the Gap, is an area that the Russian armor would have spearheaded into Western Europe and then started spreading across. What we needed to do was have a force in position to slow them down, to give us 48 to 72 hours to forward deploy our other reserves and get them into our defensive positions and then start the mobilization. Start bringing stuff over in an air ferry corridors from the United States into, France and other countries and then pre-position them and then send them forward. We needed time. Well, we realized at the end when we really saw this play out later in battles was it didn't buy us anything. They would have, it doesn't buy you anything other than you losing material. So it made no sense to forward stage aircraft and armor because you lose it in the instant of battle. Right when they decide to go, you lose it all. You lose all your forward air bases. You lose all your forward positioned aircraft. You lose all your forward positioned armor, artillery, blah, blah, and men. So all you do at the very brunt of it is you lose. And it's a prime example that the Germans showed us in World War II, but we never learned a lesson. So we did it in the Cold War. And now we're doing it in Korea. We forward deploy, two, three brigade mechanized aircraft in Korea to think that it's going to buy us some time. It doesn't. Where the real force is in Guam, it's in Japan, it's in Okinawa. It's outside the ring of the threat envelope. Because it's going to, we're going to go in there. That's the reason why we maintain landing craft. It's no other reason, Mac. Here's the problem with Korea. If Korea goes away and becomes our friend, let's say it assimilates into normalcy into the world.
Yeah.
Give me an example why we need landing craft.
To fight the Chinese on islands like in the Western Pacific.
We won't land in China. We will make a forward base somewhere else and then move in from there.
Well, Mike,
it makes no sense to do an amphibious assault.
I have
a Normandy type landing.
I have agreed with that. I mean, I think you still need the capability. if the situation arises.
For small units, though, Max.
Right,
you
I agree.
Agree with that.
Right, I agree. It would be, I would say, up to a
small scale.
Yeah,
very
I would say up to a. I would. My own opinion is up to a regiment that if
yeah,
you,
an
if,
RCT.
Right, that you could land that is going to seize an airhead, and then everything comes in, and you build it out from the airhead. That's
right.
What. Yeah,
that's all you need.
Right, that's all
it's
you
an
need.
It's an RCT or a brigade sized force.
Right. I don't.
You don't need a division.
No.
And you don't need a corps.
No. No.
Or an army.
No.
You would never, I mean, think about it. We landed in, when you talk about sizes of forces, right? You go from a squad all the way up to an army. An army is three corps. Right?
Right.
So when you look at sizes. So a corps is made up of usually three divisions, three to four divisions. I mean, so you start doing the multipliers. An army is an immense amount of people. We're talking about 75,000 people plus is an army when you consider that on a land scale. We will never land an army of people at once. It's inconceivable. We wouldn't land a division.
Right.
It's inconceivable.
Right.
That's 27,000 plus.
Right. Well, okay, let me ask you this. So, if you were the Secretary of the Navy and that was your construct and you said, okay, you know, we're a regiment, so where do those ships exist? Do we spread that regiment that can be moved, across the Meuse on the East Coast and West Coast? And that's where those capabilities reside, knowing that we can transit them through the Panama Canal and mass them as one.
Meuse are different though. Meuse are not landing forces.
No, no, no. I know. I'm just talking about the amphibious shipping.
Those are contingency forces.
Right. I'm talking about the amphibious shipping because that's an issue. That's expensive, and Navy doesn't really like
it. You just build one. Just one.
Just one.
One force that can move laterally between.
Yeah, but
the,
then do
the
so, we give away the Meuse? We tell them, hey, we're not doing this anymore.
Mm-mm. The Meuse are not an amphibious force. That's our problem.
I know, but they use amphibious shipping, and I need the amphibious shipping to move the regiment because I'm not going to build.
But you're confusing. I think what we're confusing is Meuse are not amphibious in the fact that they have the capability to seize like large spaces.
Right. I'm not talking about
very small.
All I'm talking about is amphibious ships. Amphibious containers that move shit. Okay, so
I'm talking about black bottom boats.
Oh, yeah, I'm not.
Like MPF, I'm talking about roll-on, roll-off capability.
Right, I'm talking about the Marines that go, are part of the amphibious force that move and seize it, so those roll-on, roll-off guys can drive in and unload their stuff. And
but
do this
roll-on, roll-off, see, that's where I say, I would focus more on roll-on, roll-off capability with artificial harbor capability. So you can have roll-on, roll-off that can be amphibious shipping. We've proved it.
Right.
You can have an MPF ship that can roll off stuff onto a dock in the middle of the sea and then from there forward deploy and then bring it ashore.
Yep. Right. But
that's where I think we need to focus our effort.
Okay. But the bottom line is neither one of us think that it's a big deal to pause those exercises in Korea.
No, pull them out.
Yeah. So let me tell you, the bigger game that's getting played is the reason that China wants to see this chess game between us and China. China wants to see the Korean Peninsula denuclearized so they can put pressure on South Korea to put pressure on the United States to get your forces out of here. Because the red wave that China's trying to extend to the east, right?
Right.
Does not want American troops
they don't want them behind them.
Right. On the Korean Peninsula. Okay. They don't want
China doesn't want forces behind their extended line.
Right. And so what you see is you see the United States effectively having China pinned against their mainland. With forces in South Korea, forces in Japan, forces used to be in the Philippines, now Australia, and then Guam.
Guam.
That can surge to a number of places. And China doesn't, you know, that's the bigger game here. So what is China's incentive to do this? As China begins to extend its control over what we would call the Western Pacific, they want us
right.
out. They want us out. So
China wants control of their own sea lane.
Exactly. Which is bullshit. So, I think we're gonna need to, I don't know, have some kind of event with the Chinese.
But why can't China have control of its own sea lane?
Because it's international waters. I mean, for instance, the water between China, mainland China, and Taiwan is 180 miles wide. Okay. And Mike and I have both been on aircraft carriers that do these freedom of navigation acts where they drive 12.1 nautical miles past something just to show people we drive through this. They're international shipping lanes. It's the international law of the sea that applies here. And it doesn't matter what you and your pinhead dictator say. The world doesn't play this game. And that's why we drive through these things.
Well, we can drive from them from Hawaii, and we can drive through them through San Diego. We don't need to be. We're just talking days.
I know, but like, so the South China Sea. Yeah, don't drive. Don't use the South China Sea. What?
Why not?
Because they don't want us to. It's theirs. It belongs to them. Yeah, it's bullshit.
Well, because yeah, that's all contested over oil.
Yeah,
natural resources.
Exactly.
And fishing.
And so yeah. Yeah, and you know, the International Court of the Hague says China has no legal claim to that shit. And the
right.
then the Chinese say, oh, well, look, first of all, we don't recognize your verdict. And then they look at the Philippines and Vietnam and Malaysia and say, okay, look, if you want to try to develop this shit without us, watch what we do to your economy. We're going to freeze it out of China. And we're going to screw you.
Of course, they don't recognize it. They weren't a signatory. They didn't sign
the
document.
They did. It's called the ILOS agreement, International Law of the Sea. Yeah, Chinese.
The International Law of the Sea. Yes.
Yes.
But not. So what they did was they took an island. They built an island out in Delaware, and they created a bay.
Yeah, but the island belonged to the Philippines, and they just took it. Like, we'll be taking this. They're going to do the same thing to the Japanese in those islands that they're quabbling about. So it'll be interesting, but that's the bigger chess game. Why is China interested in denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula? Because China is pushing west, sports fans. Pushing west. Okay, what do you got going today? We're doing gun talk tomorrow on the 45.
Yeah.
What do you got going today? Anything exciting?
No, today's the relaxed day.
Oh, that's
today's
right. Monday's
Monday.
Weekend recovery day.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure on the weekend. So the weekend
Thursday,
you just...
Jeff Eby's coming in.
Who? Jeff Eby?
Jeff Eby. Yeah.
What are you guys doing?
He just spent the night as he's just passing through, but he's going to stay the night here.
That's cool. All right. Hey, Mac, did Gunner have any thick gold chains to go with that IROC? Mike?
Yeah, everybody thought I was this Italian Dago, but no, I had no gold chains.
No gold chains. Oh my God, that would have been awesome to see. All right, man, have a good day. Happy Father's Day.
All right, I'll talk to her.
All right, there you have it. The one and only, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Michael Christopher Musselman. That's right, right here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, and that'll do it. My thanks to. My thanks to Alex Hollings from SoftRep. You can check his work out, softrep.com. He's a senior writer there. He writes all kinds of good stuff. We talk about supplements, dietary supplements. We also kind of hit on a number of things that he's been writing about. He wrote an article about making your own knives. Pretty interesting. I should have him back on just to talk about that. Talk to us about making your own knives. So, my thanks to Alex for coming on. In the first hour, you'll hear some pretty sobering audio. If you're just joining us, I believe the Marine Corps can do a better job teaching why we keep our honor clean. And I think teaching young people today, one of the things that they are all over is YouTube. There are videos out there that are pretty powerful stuff about the aftermath of My Lai and what it did to the lives of the guys who participated in that. And let me just tell you this, and I said this before. We can talk about the law of land warfare. There's an element when you're an officer or you're a senior NCO and you're in your 20s and you've had multiple tours, you've gone to formal schools, you've done this and that, right? You know. I think it's something quite different when you're 18 or 19. Now, that's not to excuse their behavior. But if you can imagine, and you'll hear a guy named Barnado Simpson. He was a PFC in the Army at the time. And recall, we were a segregated country in 1968, 1969. We were fighting that, right? You know, Martin Luther King assassinated in 1968. And so it's in the middle of all of that. Mississippi, most assuredly, Barnado Simpson grew up in a segregated world. He now goes into an integrated army. He gets told by white officers, and Medina was Hispanic, but in terms of, I'm sure the way that PFC Simpson looked at him, he's a white man, telling him that everybody in this village is going to be VC. So does that excuse what he did? No. But what it means is that he gave his officers the benefit of the doubt in a confusing world. He's a young man, 18, 19 years old. Should he have said, I'm not doing that? Yeah, he probably should have. But he flinched. And for that, he got a life sentence. And you'll hear, I want to say it's probably about 6 different clips from that. From an interview that was done with him, I want to say probably close to 15 years after. No, 89 would have been 20 years after the My Lai thing came to light. It comes to light in 1969-70. So 20 years. He commits suicide in 1998. His fourth attempt. He takes his own life, ultimately, with a gunshot wound to his head. And my point in playing the audio is I got an email from a regimental commander telling me that they use some stuff from All Marine Radio. They use the Bravo documentary in leadership training for, and I think it's really cool that they do. And I offered, hey, I've got another, I've been thinking a lot about this. And I sent him a list of all these clips. I think there's a pretty easy way, using YouTube to teach why we keep our honor clean and ultimately educating on post-combat related mental health. You keep your honor clean for you because you have to live with yourself. You have to live with your shit. So, you'll hear that as well. And it's pretty chilling. And it's incredibly sad because at the end of it, you'll hear him talking about his 3-year-old son, maybe 5, was shot in the head and killed. And as his son's dying and he's talking about it, he said, his face looked like the child that I had killed in Vietnam. And I knew then that God had punished me for what I had done. And it's that. And you listen to it and you're like, oh my God, that's awful. And better leaders would not have allowed that to happen. His life would have been incredibly different. So anyway, you'll hear that. And then you'll hear Alex Hollings and the one and only Governor. So, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. The Secretary of Defense gave a speech. If you didn't listen to the speech that the Commandant gave at the Naval War College last week, find it in last week's shows and listen to it. It's awesome. No kidding. The speech is awesome. Where the Marine Corps is going. Commandant lays it out. Very interesting. And then also, the Secretary of Defense gave a speech, and so you'll hear that. We'll probably do that tomorrow. So, on a Monday, All Marine Radio is over and out.